Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of Church of Apostolic Secretary and Congregation of the South of New York, Texas. Today is September 6, 2017, it's evening 16, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Follow Me. Troubled and a lonely heart, and no one seemed to care. The burden of my weary back had brought me to despair. I've complained to Yahshua, our folks were pitying me. Then I heard him say so tenderly. My feet were so heavy upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. The faithful weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. The lift your cross and follow. I worked so hard for Yahshua, I often boast and say, I sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And I heard him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it at last. I hunt the nailing angel upon a cruel cross. But now we make the journey. Your hand safe is mine. Lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh, Yahshua, if I die upon a fallen field someday, there'd be no more than love's demand, no less could I repay. No greater love hath not a man than for a friend to die. His other words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water are placed in your head, then just a cup of water is all. If I get to live it, they cannot really see. Take my cross and follow close to thee. Now, part five, the Revival Reformation. I am on Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, we're on page 74. Now, let's do a little review from our last study. As the prophetic period ended in 1844, the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary was open, into which Yahshua entered. If this incident marked the beginning of the atonement, there would have been no better or more opportune time for a call from the heaven than at the end of the great prophetic period. Yeah, the atonement being the most solemn time for the church, Seventh-day Adventists were called out by a prophet and are practically the only people who believe in the 2300 days. We are the only people who have proclaimed since 1844, and now in the atonement are the time of the judgment. The text for this is here quoted. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel preached unto them that dwell on the earth, and unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear Yahweh and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Revelation 14:6-7. Seventh-day Adventist only can fulfill the type, for just at this time they were called by a prophet of Yahweh to organize as a denomination and to proclaim the glad news, this gospel in all the world and this generation. Thus the symbol 70 meant its fulfillment at that time. Alright, let's begin our new thought today. Still another thought on the experience of Israel. When Joseph's brethren came into Egypt, they went directly unto him for corn. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Genesis 42:6. For the sons of Jacob were strangers in the land and knew not their brother who was a governor. For they providentially came not unto Pharaoh, as the Egyptians did, for corn, but directly to the right person, Joseph. In contrast to this, the Egyptians, who should have known better, being acquainted with the rule of their country, went to Pharaoh for corn. But their king told them to go to Joseph. What he saith unto you do, for the Egyptians must have known Joseph, being their governor, for more than 8 years by that time. In the 7 years of plenty, it was Joseph unto whom they sold the food, which he preserved for the time of famine. Joseph rode in the Pharaoh's chariot over all the land of Egypt, and all the Egyptians bowed down unto him. Thus it would have been impossible for them to be ignorant of him. This being a symbol, it can only find its fulfillment in the following narrative. For the Egyptians, Gentiles went under Pharaoh, leadership of the apostolic congregation for corn. For the apostles directed the Gentiles, converse to Yahshua, as the Pharaoh directed the Egyptians to Joseph, saying, Go to Joseph, what he saith unto you do. If this is the meaning we get from the Egyptians going to Pharaoh, then the significance of the sons of Jacob going directly to Joseph means that when that congregation is reorganized, the people would have to go directly to Joseph, to Yahshua, (Joseph). For the lesson intended is that in the beginning of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1845, which had no true leadership, (Pharaoh), to go to, they of necessity went directly to Yahshua, as the sons of Jacob came to Joseph. Jacob, type of James. For the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which came into existence in 1845, became Israel, the movement from which the true Israel, the 144,000, are made. It will be noted that the names of the fathers after the flesh and by the promise coincide. The father's name of Israel after the flesh was Jacob. So is the name of the father of Israel by the promise, Seventh-day Adventist movement. But one may say, it was Jacob in the former and James White in the latter. True it is, but the names Jacob and James are the same. Again, the very first vision Sister White had was about the 144,000, and the aim of this denomination has been to make that number. The Shepherd Rod, Section 4, the land of Goshen. For the beginning of this denomination was typified by Israel's entrance into Egypt, as previously explained. We shall now consider the truth of the land of Goshen. Joseph brought Israel into Egypt and gave them the part of the land to dwell in which was the best land in the country of Egypt, and there Joseph nourished them their flocks, herds, and cattle, and all they had. See Genesis 45:10. For the land of Goshen stands as a symbol of the United States of America, in which the church came into existence. While our country is productive, like the land of Goshen, the richest in the world, and a prosperous nation, it is the best for the missionary work, for it is made up of all nations, and therefore, like the land of Goshen, the most productive in Egypt, the world. Joseph nourished Israel in the beginning of the 7 years of famine, for the Egyptians sold all and became servants under Pharaoh, which has reference unto the apostolic church of the Gentiles then, who sold their houses and land and had all things in common, as previously explained. But Israel did not sell any of their possessions, nor did they pay for the food with which Joseph nourished them. Israel then represents the church now, in the beginning of the church in 1845. Yahshua, parentheses Joseph, opened the storehouse and gave us all the truth, corn, we could possibly assimilate. Is it not a fact that no other people at any time in the history of the church have received as much truth as Yahweh has given us in our time, line upon line, precept upon precept, instruction upon instruction, have been given us so that we as a people may know and understand the ways of Yahweh, obey His voice, keep His charge, commandments, statutes, and laws, thus becoming the children of Abraham and heirs according unto the promise. When this is realized in the hearts of men, then they will fulfill the charge given unto Peter. Peter said, Thou knowest I love thee. Yahshua saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, Joseph. Now we're dealing with the shepherds now. What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. Genesis 47:3. Israel were shepherds, which is a symbol of missionaries such as feed the lambs of Yahweh. In the early part of the church, the byword was every Seventh-day Adventist a missionary, and every missionary a preacher. It ought to be so now. The great struggle has not been between religion and no religion. It is between Yahweh's religion and man's religion. Review and Herald, January 21st, 1930. Another Pharaoh arose. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Exodus 1:8. As the first Pharaoh who exalted Joseph, Yahshua represented the leadership in the days of the apostles. And this new Pharaoh must represent the leadership of this present movement at the time this subject became known. Note, this new Pharaoh knew not Joseph, Yahshua, parentheses. The meaning is that the leadership of this organization has left following their master, Yahshua, Volume 5, page 217. Grievous and presumptuous sin have dwelt among it. And yet the general opinion is that the church is flourishing and that peace and spiritual prosperity are on all her borders. The church has turned back from following Yahshua, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Yet few are alarmed or astonished at their want of spiritual power. Doubt and even disbelief of the testimony of the Spirit of Yahweh is leavening our churches everywhere. Satan would have it thus. The testimonies are unread and unappreciated. Further explanation of the Pharaohs being types is given on the last page of this section. Taskmasters. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, and he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Therefore they did sit over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh's treasures cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with the hard bondage. In mortar, and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. Exodus 1:8-13. For the children of Israel, said Pharaoh, are too strong and mightier than we. Let us deal wisely and reduce their strength. So they, Israelites, were drafted from the sheepfolds to the brickyards and the field. But this did not reduce their strength, said Pharaoh. Let us set taskmasters over them to wear them out. Note the application. Pharaoh is the king, the one who rules. The taskmasters in this case could be none other than a class of ministers referred to in the volume 5, page 217. Doubt and even disbelief of the testimonies of the Spirit of Yahweh is living in our churches everywhere. Satan would have it thus. Ministers who preach self instead of Yahshua would have it thus, for the testimonies are unread and unappreciated. No longer is the byword of Seventh-day Adventist every Seventh-day Adventist a missionary. Every missionary a preacher. That's what it used to be. But now, how much per capita have you made your budget? Instead of, have you brought any souls to Yahshua? Are your church members nearer unto Him? It is not meant here that Christians ought not to give for the support of the case. Cause we ought to give and give more liberally than we have given in the past. But our gifts ought to come from a willing heart and not from the result of lashes. For the people should be fed with the spiritual food so that they would feel the need of giving without overbearing on the subject. When Moses was about to build a sanctuary in the wilderness, Yahweh commanded him, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Moses was commanded to take offerings only from those who willingly gave from their heart. We are told by the Spirit of Prophecy that ministers should not put all their efforts and time with the church. Members are not to expect a sermon every Sabbath. Ministers should rather engage themselves in working for outsiders. Read Volume 9, page 140. Have we taken heed to this instruction, for example, we would have scores of ministers in Los Angeles and immediate vicinity. But now, many public efforts have we. But how many public efforts have we? It was announced just a short time ago that there were only two. Thus it has been for some years. What are these ministers doing day after day and week after week? It seems that they are doing nothing. They're preparing a sermon during 6 days of the week to preach on the Sabbath, and then it is either something to sell or some particular budget to raise. How many sermons preached do we read of in the Bible urging people to give money or to buy something to support the cause? Not one. We have pleaded the house of Yahweh with the merchandise on even on Sabbath morning, which hour is dedicated as a day of the rest to worship Yahweh. Volume 1, page 471, 472. A great mistake has been made by some who profess present truth by the introducing of the merchandise in the course of a series of meetings, and by their traffic diverting mind from the objects of the meeting. If the Yahshua were now up on the earth, he would drive out these peddlers and traffickers, for they be ministers or people, with a scourge of small cords, as when he entered the temple anciently. Ministers have stood in the desk and preached a most solemn discourse, and then by the introducing of the merchandise and acting the part of a salesman, even in the house of Yahweh, they have diverted the minds of their hearers from the impressions received and destroyed the fruit of their labor. Their time and strength should be held in reserve that their efforts may be thorough in a series of meetings. Their time and strength should not be drawn upon to sell our books when they can be properly brought before the public by those who have not the burden of the preaching the word. Call quotes. It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. These traffickers might have pleaded as an excuse that the articles they held for sale were for sacrificial offerings, but the object was to get gain, to obtain means to accumulate, volume 1, page 472. Our conference is not ignorant of the instruction here given, and the evil which is practiced in the churches. At the Autumn Council held in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1923, the question of the book sales on the Sabbath day was brought forth in connection with other matters, and the following resolution was passed and published. That all campaigns for the promotion of the periodicals or book sales on the Sabbath day be eliminated, and that those responsible for the promotion of these campaigns be directed to the method of house-to-house solicitation by the visiting committees in the connection with the campaigns for literature sale. About our publishing houses to exercise caution, circularizing people on behalf of the publishing house projects, and refrain from sending the church officers matters to be presented on the Sabbath. With the previous arrangement with the local union and general conferences, Milwaukee Austin Council, October 9, 1723. Where we read that, in the Testimonies of Ministers, page 477, a strange thing has come into our churches. Men who are placed in the position of responsibility that they may be wise helpers to their fellow workers have come to suppose that they were set as kings and rulers in the churches to say to one brother, do this, to another, do that, and to another, be sure to labor in such a way. Thus Pharaoh has drafted the people from the sheepfold to the brickyards or the field. The taskmasters, being commanded to oversee the work, urge the bricks, budgets, and wear out the people. The existing sins in the church are passed over and no one cares. Those who do reprove wrongs incur their displeasure. In volume 3, page 266, speaking of the condition of the church at the time of the sealing, marking of 144,000, and the slaughter in the church, we read, to those who have excused these wrongs have been thought by the people to be very amiable and lovely in disposition, simply because they shunned to discharge a plain scriptural duty. The task was not agreeable to their feelings, therefore they avoided it. Furnish straw no more. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake unto the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where you can find it. Yet not all of your work shall be diminished. Exodus 5, 6 and 7, 10 and 11. Pharaoh will not furnish straw, that is, he will not render any help, but the people must produce the same amount of bricks in the beginning of this organization. Seventh-day Adventists, the denominational institution, sanitariums, and hospitals were built for the purpose of caring for our own people, members of the church. That's because the patient had been diagnosed, the cause being made known with instruction, some aid or treatments were to be given. This help was to be rendered whether they were able to pay much, little, or nothing. Such is the work of the Good Samaritan. The former numbers of the Testimonies of the Church, I have spoken of the importance of the Seventh-day Adventists establishing an institution for the benefit of the sick, especially for the suffering and sick among us. I have spoken of the ability of our own people and point of men to do this, and have urged that in view of the importance of this branch of the great work of the preparation to meet the Yeshua, when I saw those who managed and directed running into the dangers shown me, of which I had warned them in public, and also in private conversation and letters, a terrible burden came upon me. That which had been shown me as a place where the suffering sick among us could be helped was one where sacrifice, hospitality, faith, and piety should be the ruling principle. But when the unqualified calls were made for large sums of money, with the statement that stock taken would pay large percent, when the brethren who occupy position in the institution seemed more than willing to take large wages than those who filled other and equally important stations in the great cause of truth and reform. There's your reform right there. Reform and reformation. When I learned with pain that in order to make the institution popular with those not of our faith and secure their patronage, the spirit of the compromise was rapidly gaining ground at the institute, manifested in the use of Mr., Miss., and Mrs. instead of brother and sister, and in popular amusements in which all could engage in a sort of comparatively innocent frolic. When I saw these things, I said, this is not that which was shown me as an institution for the sick, which would share the signal blessing of Yahweh. This is another thing. And yet calculations for more extensive buildings were made, and calls for the large sums of money were urged. As it was then managed, I could but regard the institute, on the whole, as a curse. Several who came to Battle Creek, humble, devoted, confiding Christians, went away almost infidel, for the general influence of these saints was creating prejudice against the health reform in very many of the most humble, the most devoted, and the best of our brethren, and was destroying faith in my testimonies and in the present truth. The brethren who have stood at the head of this work have appealed to our people for means on the ground that the health reform is a part of the great work connected with the Third Age's message. And this they have been right. It is a branch of the great charitable, liberal, sacrifice, and benevolent work of Yahweh. And why should these brethren say stock in the health institute will pay a large percent? It is a good investment. Paying thing. Why not as well talk of stock in the publishing association paying a large percent? If these are two branches of the same great closing work of the preparation for the coming of the Son of Man, why not? Or why not make them both matters of liberality? The pen and the voice that appeal unto the friends of the cause in behalf of the publishing fund held out no such inducement. Volume 1, pages 633. How do our institutions now measure with this straight testimony? And we say they are charitable, liberal, sacrificing, benevolent institutions. Listen to the enormous profits they make. Presentment is here made of the annual report of the St. Helena Sanitarium as it appeared in the Pacific Union Recorder on April the 25th, 1929. Now, I'm not going to go in and read all of that stuff again. I've read this before. This has nothing to do with revival and reformation, as far as I'm concerned. And V.T. Holliff recorded all that stuff. I'm going to skip over all that numbers and money stuff. I'm just going to go right on page 84 into the first paragraph. Has the devil become more charitable than Yahshua? Why have we gone to sleep? Is it dollars and cents that the Yahweh won? Are these things not destroying the confidence of the public and the people of Yahweh. All these things adding or distracting from the fruit of our labor. Are we representing Yahweh and carrying the third angel's message to a dying world? Well, this is all just rehash. I'm going to skip over all of that. I'm going to go now on to page 86, midwives. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, and he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Exodus 1:12-16. For the midwives symbolize the church school teachers who nurse the children in the system of education. You may ask, is it possible that the devil would attempt to deceive the teachers and poison the children's mind? The devil is not leaving one string loose. Reference is here made to the Home and School Journal of the Christian Education of December 1929, published by the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Washington, D.C., and every teacher in the denomination is supposed to be a subscriber of this magazine. The above mentioned issue is full of Christmas stories, Christmas keeping, and Christmas programs and gifts which the teachers are supposed to pass on to the children. As it would be to lengthy to quote it all, only the very the last sentence and the closing words in the paragraph, what Christmas may always mean, is quoted here. And in general, a baptism of the realities, simplicity, and sincerity in the observance of the world's supreme birthday. Think of these words, dear reader. A Seventh-day Adventist paper published by the General Conference to exalt the world's supreme idolatrous day to a birthday of the Yasir and handed to the teachers of the denomination. Well, we know that that was the Jesuit leaders. Representing those grizzled horses, team leadership that took over control of the bay horses, leadership, a pure leadership. Okay, that was all organized by James White and the General Conference in 1863, when that grizzled horse leadership showed up in the person of itself, and that was with the leader James White in 1863. Let's leave off and go to the Bible now. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, and let's just read about the revival and reformation that took place in the Apostles' day. And see if we can't get an example for how to set up this antitypical revival reformation in our day. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. For the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yahshua began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, and whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by the many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Yahweh, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with the water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Master, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in the white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Yahshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come, so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from the Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Yahshua, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, The number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Yahshua. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called, in their proper tongue, Alkadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalm, let his habitation become desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, I mean his office, the position that he holds in the church, let another take. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Yeshua Messiah went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John and unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, Thou Yahshua, or Thou Yahweh, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry, an apostleship, by which Judas, by the transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And when the day of the Pentecost was fully come, all right, that ends chapter 1 of Acts. Let's go into chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of the Pentecost was fully come, they were all with the one accord in the one place. And suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of the Yahweh. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of the new wine. Okay, it says at verse 14, but the Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Third hour of the day. Our time that starts at 8 o'clock, standard time. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says Yahweh, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall see visions, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, maiden, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Yeshua come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yeshua shall be saved. Here's that name, Yeshua. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Now he's just talking to the men of Israel. In other words, those that have been sanctified by the accepting the truth and receiving that adoption of sons, also the adoption of the new name, Israel. Yahshua of Nazareth, a man appeared of Yahweh among you by the miracles and wonders and signs that the Yahweh did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of Yahweh, ye have taken and by the wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom Yahweh hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For the David speaketh concerning him, and I saw the Yahshua always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Now this is the scripture that I'm claiming for myself today. For I am the antitypical David, and I know this, and I'm taking this for me. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw Yahshua always before my face. He said, I foresaw him. For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. And I know that. I know that Yahshua is on my right hand. I knew that when I was given my commission at Tremont 2002. That he was on my right hand, and I would not be moved from this stake that has been set for this kingdom of David that shall be set up. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of the joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. But he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that Yahweh has sworn with an oath unto him, that of the fruit of his loins, according unto the flesh, he would raise up Yahshua to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Yahshua, that his soul was not left in hell. Now that his flesh did see corruption. So those that don't resurrect because they don't, went down into their graves wicked and evil. They didn't have pardon by their record showing where they are to receive eternal life. Well, they are left in hell. They are left in hell. This Yahshua hath Elohim raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of Yahweh exalted, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, Yahshua said unto my Savior, sit thou on my, the Yahweh said unto my master Yahshua, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Yahweh hath made that same Yahshua whom you have crucified, both Savior and King. Most Savior. How about High Priest? He has made him the High Priest and your Savior and King. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua, the Messiah, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and unto your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as Yahweh or Elohim shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. And that's what we're called to do. To save ourselves from this untoward generation of these lost Seventh-day Adventists. And that generation is talking about in our day with that generation of Gilead Center. And I'm going to read that again. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation of Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas. In 2002, this is present truth then. This is present tense at that time. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Well, with this will happen at the antiquated day of Pentecost for us today. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostle, and all that believed were together and had all things common. This is where we arrive at today. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had needed. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising Yahweh and having favor with all the people, and the Yahweh added unto the congregation daily such as should be saved. Okay, it ends Acts chapter 2. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, a lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Yahshua Messiah of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh. And all the people saw him walking and praising Yahweh, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The Elohim of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, hath glorified his son Yahshua, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of the Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom Yahweh has raised from the dead. Wherefore we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I want that through the ignorance ye did it as did also your rulers. But those things which Yahweh before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Yahshua should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, and that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahweh. And he shall send Yahshua Messiah, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which Yahweh has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Yahshua your Yahweh raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which Yahweh made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first Yahweh, having raised up his son Yahshua, sent him to bless you and to turn away every one of you from his iniquities. Peter and John persecuted. Okay, that end of chapter 3 of Acts. Let's just go right on into chapter 4. Peter and John persecuted, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the chaplain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Yahshua the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the important man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and unto all the people of Israel, that by the name of Yahshua Messiah of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Yahshua. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do unto these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, and manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. If that is spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in his name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Yahshua. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of Yahweh to hearken unto you more than unto Yahweh, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified Yahweh for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of the healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had laid said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice unto Yahweh with one accord and said, "Yahweh, thou art Elohim, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, 'Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?' For the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Yahshua and against his Messiah. For of a truth, against the holy child Yahshua, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Yahshua, behold, Yahweh, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Yahshua." When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of Yahweh with boldness. Common holding of the possession. Verse 32, Acts chapter 4. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, and neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Yahshua Messiah, and great graces upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, he by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet." This brings the close of our studies. This is our contest. This is the 11th hour. Calling us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. Oh, was lost, Lord, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my cares relieved. Oh, precious is that grace appeared the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I had already told. His grace hath brought, he saved us far. Lead me home. And all has taught us good to me. His word, my hope secures. He found my shield and portion thee. As life endures, and we can thank in thousand years, Christ shining.